Coming up, it's the history of jazz with Paul Kivi. This is 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We operate translator K210 DR in Brainerd 89.9. Since 1976, Northern Community Radio KEXE has been telling the stories of the people and the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Listen at KEXE.org or on your smart speaker. You can keep KEXE people powered into the future with your support now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. Thank you for your support.
Duke Ellington's Black and Tan Fantasy with Duke on the piano, Louis Armstrong on trumpet, Barney Bigard clarinet, Trummy Young on trombone, Mort Herbert bass, Danny Barcelona on the drums, recorded April 4th, 1961. The only time Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington ever recorded together in a studio. Welcome to Volume 76 of the Recorded History of Jazz. I'm Paul Kivi, and today we'll hear masterpieces from Art Blakey and the Messengers, Miles Davis, and John Coltrane. I mean, this show is lit. First up, though, is the 17th and final piece that Louis and Duke recorded over the two-day period in 1964 that's been dubbed the Great Summit. Sometime in the late 1930s, Duke Ellington wrote a piece he called Azalea. And even though he had employed many singers in the intervening 25 years, he hadn't recorded the tune since the only voice he could hear in his head belonged to Louis Armstrong. So nearing the end of the two-day session, he pulled out the sheet music and handed it to Louis, and Armstrong, being a good sight reader, needed half an hour to be ready to record. According to those in the studios, tears were flowing down Duke's face as he played the final notes. I mean, can you imagine? You write a song thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if Louis Armstrong was able to sing it? And then he does. Here's Azalea.
Such a fine spring day down Louisiana way, with fragrance divine, oh baby, and such magnificent regalia, oh so fine, azalea. Oh, what a lovely sight, in red and pink and white. Can't help but believe that nothing evil can assail you so naive. Azalea, you at ease on the knees of the moss-covered trees, whose tops met to make on high, ceiling in the church-like pump of a cypress swamp. I've yet to get that same strange feeling. I've got to go back there and find that blossom fair I'll always dream of. 'Cause with you, who could be a failure? My first love, Azalea. got to go back there and find that blossom fair I always dream of. 'Cause with you, who could be a failure? My first love, my very first love, Azalea.
Azalea. A bucket list moment for Duke Ellington, for sure, to hang on to this special song for 25 years on the off chance he might have the opportunity to get Louis Armstrong to sing it, and then he does. Telling the story of great moments like that are why I have created this hobby of mine, the Recorded History of Jazz. I'm Paul Kivy, and here is another outstanding piece from the spring of 1961, by Art Blakey and his Jazz Messengers, who included Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Bobby Timmons on piano, and Jimmy Merritt on the bass. The tune is The Witch Doctor. Witch Doctor by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, recorded March 14th, 1961. You have found where the good old songs have gone to live, the recorded history of jazz. It's hard to believe so much world-class jazz was recorded in such a short time in the spring of 1961, just a week after the Witch Doctor and a couple weeks before Louis and Duke got together. Trumpeter Miles Davis recorded the title track of his 1961 studio album with both John Coltrane and Hank Mobley on tenor sax, Wynton Kelly on the piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Jimmy Cobb on the drums. The tune is "Someday My Prince Will Come." Miles Goes Disney, I suppose you could say. Someday My Prince Will Come by the Miles Davis Sextet, with guest John Coltrane on the tenor sax solo, Wynton Kelly on the piano solo. This is your handpicked guided tour of the music that is most uniquely American, the recorded history of jazz. By 1961, Coltrane was no longer a regular part of the Miles Davis Quintet. He was out on his own, pushing the boundaries of jazz. And here we find him with three young kindred spirits who would become jazz giants on their own. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, McCoy Tyner on piano, and Eric Dolphy on flute. Coltrane himself is on soprano saxophone on this title track, unusually. And this track filled up all of side one of his album, Olé. John Coltrane's Ole. Coltrane on soprano sax, Freddie Hubbard trumpet, Eric Dolphy flute, McCoy Tyner on piano. It's amazing how he can solo with one hand while repeating the propulsive rhythm piano with the other. That's a skill that would serve him well in his long career. Reggie Workman and Art Davis both on bass, because why have one bass when you can have two? And Elvin Jones on drums, recorded May 25th, 1961. Checking in at 18 minutes and 18 seconds, that is our longest cut so far. We'll hear a couple more of that length in the 1960s and 70s. Your home for all the jazz that's fit to play, the recorded history of jazz. I'm Paul Kivi. Pianist Bill Evans revisited one of his most famous compositions, Waltz for Debbie, at the request of his friend, alto sax man Cannonball Adderley, who asked Evans to both arrange and play piano on his album, Know What I Mean. With Percy Heath on the bass and Connie Kay on drums from March 13th, 1961, here is Waltz for Debbie. Waltz for Debbie by Cannonball Adderley and Bill Evans on piano. We have time for one more in Volume 76 of the Recorded History of Jazz, and it's a live cut by the Miles Davis Quintet featuring Wynton Kelly on piano, live on April 22nd, 1961. This is Softly as in a Morning Sunrise.
Thank you.
Softly As in a Morning Sunrise, a lovely cut featuring pianist Wynton Kelly with Paul Chambers on bass, Jimmy Cobb on the drums. That's from the Miles Davis at the Black